As human beings, there are four main things that we rely on for security. There's money, there's control, there is intellectual power, and there are our abilities, including our ability to do good. But these four main things, they can also work to keep us away from real security. Today, as we continue our series in Mark, you know, Jesus, the ultimate action hero, we're going to be continuing Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Today we're going to look at the story of the young man who had it all, but he walked away from the most important treasure ever. So our scripture picks up at Mark chapter 10, verse 17. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. And it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, it's interesting to me how this man approaches Jesus. He ran up to Jesus, apparently anxious, to get with Jesus before Jesus has left town. He knelt down. Probably not something that he was used to doing. He called Jesus good teacher. He's not really ready to be a disciple, but he figures Jesus probably has some really good advice for an up-and-coming young guy such as himself. Now, you've got to hand it to this guy, this young man. He knows just what he wants. And he has come to the place where he thinks that he can find it. Find out how to get it. And that was Jesus. But sadly for him, getting eternal life is not a thing to be purchased to add to his collection. In fact, this guy, he had everything that we humans strive for naturally. He had wealth, he had power, and he had youth. Matthew's gospel calls him young, and in Luke's gospel, he calls him a ruler. To us, nothing more is needed. One of the things that this section of Scripture teaches us is to watch out when those values become our security. This man, he had everything, and yet somehow something was missing. Now, I've heard it said by more than one person who has attained great fame or power or wealth that it is enticing as a goal, but it's very empty as a possession. So Jesus answers this man, and his answer is truly astounding. Jesus begins at verse 18. He says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. See, Jesus here first focuses on how the man addressed him. He wants this man to move the focus off of himself and his achievements and his works and start moving it on to Jesus. By saying that only God is good, then either this man has to retract his statement about Jesus being good, or he has to start thinking about Jesus being God. In the end, it all comes down to how we think about Jesus. Is he merely a good teacher with some great tips? Or is he more? So much more. Jesus, he goes and he gives this man six of the Ten Commandments. Those that deal with our relationships with others. Now, interestingly enough, not on our relationship with God, which is the thing that this man lacked. Now, these things that Jesus mentioned were verifiable things that this man can prove that he has followed. But you see, he's in for a big surprise when Jesus reveals the true nature of the law, not just a list of rules, but a way to show our lacking and our need for God's mercy. So at verse 20 of Mark chapter 10, in case Josh needs to find out where it's at, it says, "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." The man, he knelt down before Jesus. But it was a false humility. In reality, he thought that he had everything already in order to attain eternal life. He just wanted somebody to acknowledge it. Perhaps that is where you are at right now. You think you're a good person and that somehow God ought to reward you for being good? See, what we don't realize is how truly broken we are, how unable we are to see real goodness. So Jesus here is going to help this man's vision out just a little bit. And in verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." First, let's point out that despite this man's condition, Jesus loved him. See, Jesus' love, it goes beyond our earning it. There is nothing we can do to earn his love. Ours should do the same thing. When we see pre-Christians or non-believers or people who are not following Jesus Christ yet, we often judge first and love later. Somehow we need to figure out how to change that. See, the character of Christ should have us feel compassion whether or not they eventually follow Jesus Christ. The compassion, it should then lead us, just as it did Jesus Christ, to share the real truth of the gospel, and that is that it cannot be earned. It is a free gift. Now, at first reading, it seems as if Jesus is somehow telling this man that he can indeed earn eternal life by going and selling all of his goods and giving it to the poor. But you see, the emphasis here is not on the selling of the goods, but on the following of Jesus Christ. What the Lord is pointing out is that thing which is keeping this man from being able to follow Jesus. And that is his love of money and his love of his possessions. In fact, money to this man was an idol, something that he loved more than God. And this actually led him to violate the first and the most important commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." So Jesus basically gives the basic elements of the gospel. Repent and believe. The man needed to turn his back. That is to repent from his money as his God and to trust, to follow Jesus instead. Now I'd like to point out here that having wealth, that is not the issue. Trusting Jesus as your ultimate security and as your God, that is the issue. There are many gods in people's lives: education, power, health, relationships, lust, recreation. The list can go on and on and on. The question is, who is first in your life? So the man reacts to what Jesus has to say, but not in a way that we would like. At verse 22, it tells us, "At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth." Perhaps a better way to say that last part is, he went away sad because his wealth had him. If this is how you would react to having the potential for something that you treasure, having it ripped away from you, then perhaps it has you more than you have it. Now, of course, I'm not saying that we need to be unfeeling at loss, especially when it comes to our relationships. We grieve, and that's normal, that's natural, just as Jesus did for his friend Lazarus. But here, clearly, the man had a choice to make: serve his money, serve his possessions, or serve Jesus Christ. He chose the former. He chose his possessions. And he's depressed. His face fell. He was sad. Sad that Jesus somehow didn't validate his efforts at righteousness. And he's distressed and thinking, now how am I going to go about getting this validation that I need? See, that's the problem with somehow seeking value from what you are or what it is that you do. It is a never-ending cycle. This age, it will never satisfy. So the man leaves, he walks away, and Jesus now goes and he addresses those who are left, those who are still there. They're left wondering about a big question, because in that culture, it was the rich and the wealthy, the powerful, who were thought to be blessed by God. And so if this man cannot make it into heaven, then none of us can. So Jesus addresses them, and at verse 23 says, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." So why is it so hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God? Because they can self-inoculate against their need. When they feel a lack, when they feel they're lacking something, they can just go out and buy something that fulfills them or distracts them for a little bit of time. The rich, they don't really feel a physical need, and so they are less likely to feel the spiritual need. Now, I don't have anything against having wealth, but it can keep us from seeing our need for Jesus Christ. Do you know power is the same way? A powerful person thinks that they are on the top of the heap, and they would have a very hard time submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Lust. It keeps us from knowing our need for intimacy with God. If your primary focus is on intellect, then it keeps you from submitting to the simplicity of the gospel. You know, it's a free gift. All you have to do is accept it. If health or beauty is your God, then it keeps you from seeing the reality of the human condition and the true beauty of a godly character. So the disciples and most of the people in those days, and probably many in ours as well, they considered the wealthy to be in God's favor, to be blessed by God. Now, Jesus used the term the eye of a needle, and it was a common Jewish phrase that they used back then to denote something that was ridiculously impossible to do, because we all know that a camel will never get through the eye of a needle. The good news, of course, is that with the power of God, even the farthest heart away from God can be brought near. So at verse 28, Peter speaks up. Then Peter spoke up. "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. You see, the disciples, including Peter, they had left their former life, the security of everything that they knew, in order to follow Jesus Christ. But what would they, and the many people who have come since, who have given everything up to follow Jesus Christ, what would they receive? Well, Jesus promises a return, but don't think of it like the stock market, where you're investing in the stock market like that. What you get from Jesus are relationships. You get security and purpose. And not just a little bit, but a superabundance compared to this age. Our relationship with God and our new family is so much better than anything else that this world has to offer. Now, Jesus mentions houses, and that could refer to the security that we feel in Jesus, knowing that he has given us eternal life and that he has gone to prepare a place for us. He also mentions fields, and it could be the opportunities that we have inside these walls, but also beyond these walls, to go out and help others come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the gift that he has. They can experience that same abundance. But because the world hates Jesus, along with that comes persecutions. See, it's a natural goal of us humans to avoid pain. And that's why we value wealth so much. Because we believe that that wealth can shield us from that pain. In Jesus Christ, you will have pain. Yeah, that's kind of tough, isn't it? But with the increased security that you have from Jesus Christ, from knowing what eternity holds, the relationships that are there, it makes the pain more bearable. It makes it easier to take it on this side of heaven, knowing what is on that side. In the way that God's universe runs, it is completely opposite to this age. To get it all, you have to give it all up. Now, if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you're a non-Christian, if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower, do you know that you have a need? See, even though this young man wanted justification, somehow he knew that something was lacking in his life. And he knew that Jesus was the source to get it. Do you see that need in your own life? Search your heart and let Jesus gently give you the hard truth of what it is that you are following, what it is that you are serving instead of him. And then let that thing go and follow him. See, don't come to Jesus just for justification. See, it's not about what you have done. It is about what Jesus Christ has already done for you. Is there something in your life that you love more than God? You can tell by just imagining that it was suddenly taken away from you. Would you feel like life wasn't worth living anymore? Would you grieve so heavily about that loss that you wouldn't even want to follow God anymore? Perhaps that particular item, that particular thing would be an idol for you, much like it was for that young man. See, even if it is a hollow security, you have to be willing to leave that behind, the thing which you depend on in this age, and start clinging to Jesus and following him. Now, if you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, believer, what should your attitude be then when you're dealing with the things of this age? Well, let's look at a man who had it all and he lost it all. Job. Job chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "At this, Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.'" Last line. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. See, the truth is that in this world, in this age, we should have very light fingers on our possessions. We should not hold on to them real tightly. We also need to realize that we will have hard times. Things will not be easy. But that doesn't mean that you are without God's blessing. God is with you, and He can be blessing you even in the hard times. See, anything that you rely on for your security, if it is not Jesus Christ first, then it may turn out to be your worst enemy. Now, another lesson from this part of the chapter. With God, anyone can come to faith. Anyone at all. So don't give up praying and sharing with the rich young rulers that are in your life.